You know, it's interesting. I used to hear the terms, and I still do. I even say them at the end of every prayer, in Jesus' name. It's how Jesus taught us to pray, in Jesus' name. But I sometimes think that people view that as almost, that's when the magic happens. It's like you can say anything you want up to that point. You can ask for anything, name anything, just as long as you end by saying, in Jesus' name, then bada bing, bada boom, heaven will respond and you'll get it.
Have you seen some of those name charts that trace the popularity of names through different decades? You can find out where and when your name was popular and why there are five different Janes or Jennifers or Jims in your class in school growing up. Well, today on Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, Skip Heitzik continues our latest series, God's Top 10. And today he'll be talking a bit more about a name that is always popular, but perhaps not properly used or understood. We'll have more on that coming up in just a moment. But first, we want to tell you about our brand new and excellent July resource offer.
Ready to radically upgrade your prayer life? Still stuck in bless me mode? You have come to the right place if you are ready for dangerous prayers.
We're going to really start praying three new prayers. And I want to warn you, these are not easy prayers. These are not safe prayers. These are not benign prayers. We're calling them dangerous prayers, but they're dangerous in a good way. In fact, if you ask my opinion, most people I know in this part of the world, most people's prayers are way too safe.
That's Craig Rochelle from his book, Dangerous Prayers. And this is our summer resource offer. Get it if you are ready to get out of your comfort zone.
What I want to do is I want to arm you with some prayers that are not safe to pray. In fact, just know going into them, when you pray these prayers, you're really asking God to do something that will often take you out of your comfort zone.
Unlock your prayer potential with Craig Rochelle's book, Dangerous Prayers. It's our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer, or you can call 800-922-1888. Now, another clip from Craig's book, Dangerous Prayers.
We're going to talk about a very dangerous prayer where we ask God to break us. Break me, God. You want to pray a dangerous prayer, you ask God to break you. That's the last thing any of us want. But on the other side of brokenness is a real intimacy with God and a dependence on Him that you cannot get to any other way but through brokenness.
We all have enough encouraging books. Get one that will grab you by the throat and get your attention.
We're going to pray, send me. Instead of saying, God, I'll do what I want to do for you, we're going to say, God, I'm signing a blank contract, basically. Whatever, whenever, however, God, I'm available to you. Whatever you want to do, my life is yours. You send me.
Connectwithskip.com/offer, or you can call 800-922-1888.
Skip and his wife, Lainey, will be joining us after the teaching today for a few thoughts from Exodus chapter 20. So open up there as we begin with Skip Heitzik.
In many of those instances that are played in your television sets and in your living rooms every night, the name of God or Jesus is used in a very demeaning way. And you hear it over and over and over again. And here's the problem. What happens when you hear it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? You become desensitized to it. And people in hearing that become desensitized to the greatness of that name, the splendor of that name, the uniqueness of that name, because of the way it's been misused. So some are going to hear this message and say, well, then Skip, what am I going to say if I hit my thumb with a hammer? You're going to say, bless the Lord that it was only my thumb. Especially if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians tells us, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how you ought to answer every man. You see, children of the king ought to have the language of the court. Exalted language, not demeaning language. So profanity is one way where people abuse words with God's name of it. Here's the second way, hypocrisy. Not just profanity, hypocrisy. That is where people take the name of God to themselves. I am a Christian. I'm a follower of God. But it's a profession without a practice. It's words without a walk. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, they took the name of Jesus to themselves. They said, I'm a representative of Christ. But their actions speak louder than their words. Their actions cancel out their words. Now, you know, there are names that are trademark names. There are trademark names, but we use them for general terms. For instance, the term Kleenex. You say, get me a Kleenex. You may not really mean a Kleenex, which is a certain brand by a certain company. You may just mean, get me a tissue. Or the name Band-Aid. Yeah, there's adhesive medical strips, but then there's Band-Aid. But we use the term generally. Or the term Xerox. That's a corporation. And what we usually mean, any kind of copy, a Xerox. But I found out something, that companies like this and others have a legal department and they have field representatives. They go out into the world, different corporations, read the literature, read the websites, listen to different advertisements to make sure that the name of their company is not taken in vain, not misused, not overused, not misrepresented, because they want to protect the reputation of the company. Okay. Well, we've taken to ourselves the name above all names, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, the name of Jesus. I wonder if it wouldn't be a bad idea if we didn't have field representatives, just to ensure that those who name the name of Christ are making sure that they're all about the character and the reputation and the authority of Jesus Christ, that it's used properly. You know, it's interesting. I used to hear the terms, and I still do. I even say them at the end of every prayer, in Jesus' name. It's how Jesus taught us to pray, in Jesus' name. But I sometimes think that people view that as almost, that's when the magic happens. It's like you can say anything you want up to that point. You can ask for anything, name anything, just as long as you end by saying, in Jesus' name, then bada bing, bada boom, heaven will respond and you'll get it. No. Jesus said, when you pray, you ought to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, when you're first forming your words for prayer, the first concern that you have and that I have is for the character and the reputation and the authority of God. So look at it this way. Here you are praying for something. Filter it through this thought. If God answers my prayer and I get this thing, will this further the character of God? Will this honor more the reputation of God? Will this speak and be compatible with the authority of God? Because that's the idea of the name. So names are sacred, especially God's name. Words are sacred. And third, promises are sacred, and we shouldn't diffuse them. Now, I'll tell you where I'm going with this. Many Bible scholars, commentators, will say that this third commandment principally has to deal with making covenants or pledges or oaths. For instance, William Barclay says, quote, this commandment is primarily a prohibition against using God's name in vain in a pledge. In other words, making a promise to somebody with no intention of keeping that promise or breaking that promise just because it's inconvenient. And the reason they say that is because this isn't the only time we find this wording in the Bible. You will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. There are other passages that are commentaries on this. I'll read one of them. This is Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. Now, this is how it worked. 2,000-3,000 years ago, when the children of Israel were entering into an agreement, a covenant, a contract, they didn't have credit ratings at that time. So they would enter into a covenant by making an oath. And they would usually begin by saying, "As the Lord lives, I promise to do such and such." Or, "May God do to me this and more if I don't fulfill my promise in such and such." They would invoke the name of God and make a promise. But too often, they would make a pledge and then break it, and in effect, empty God's name of its real value and meaning. So that by the time we get to Jeremiah chapter 5, the Lord says, "And though they say, 'As the Lord lives,'" that's their oath, "surely they swear falsely." In other words, they make promises all day long, they break them, and they are taking my name in vain. Okay, now I want you to see something, because you're familiar with this. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Go to your New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. Very familiar, the Sermon on the Mount. And we find that here, by the New Testament times, people figured out a way to get out of this oath-taking business and even break their oath. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 33. I hear those pages turning. You there? Matthew 5:33. "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' Why? Because promises are sacred. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for that's God's throne, nor by earth, for it's his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black." Of course, this was spoken a long time ago, right? This is way before Clairol was invented. "But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." So you see what's happening? By the New Testament times, people were making oaths not by saying, "As the Lord lives," or "May the Lord do so to me and more," but they were saying, "I pledge by my life," or "by my head," or "by the hair on your head," or "by Jerusalem," or "by the earth." Now, before you say, "Well, that's stupid, that's silly," we did it as kids. Cross your heart, hope to die. Cross your heart twice, hope to die twice. You know, all those little silly things we did to ensure that the promise would not be broken. Now, by the New Testament times, and this is what the Lord is referring to, people had compartmentalized promises into two classes: absolute binding, not absolute binding. If you invoke the name of God, as the Lord lives, now God is your partner, it's binding. You have to do it. But if you use another name, my head, your head, the hairs of your head, Jerusalem, heaven, earth, it's a non-binding oath. And you know what they did? They actually quoted Leviticus 19:12, which we just quoted to you. "You shall not swear by my name falsely." And they interpreted that to mean you could swear falsely by another name, but not God's name. So traditions developed for people making promises, and it allowed them to tell lies. It's like the four boys who ditched class. And they came to the school the next day and told the teacher of the class, "Well, we had a flat tire. We went out for lunch and we had a flat tire. And that's why we didn't make it to class." The teacher said, "Well, you happened to miss the test, but I'll let you take it today." So the teacher said, "I want you to sit in all four corners of the classroom. It's a written test. Question number one, which tire was flat?" That first question would answer a lot, wouldn't it? That would really be the pass or fail, wouldn't it? So words are sacred, names are sacred, and promises are sacred. Now, let me end with this. Let me give you four areas where promises are sacred. Number one, just a normal promise for a believer is to be seen as sacred. Your word ought to be your bond. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. How many remember the movie Mary Poppins? And you may remember in Mary Poppins that scene when the two girls, I think it was the first day that Mary was with them, two girls said, oh, Mary Poppins, promise never to leave us. Promise to stay with us forever. We promise to always be good. And Mary Poppins said, well, that's just a pie crust promise. Easily made, easily broken. Far too many believers make pie crust promises. Make them easily, break them easily. How many of you have ever been in a courtroom, been to court? Raise your hand. Really? That many of you? You've seen this then, Bible placed out there. I think they still use these. Hand placed on the Bible. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And then people will perjure themselves using the name of God. That's a pie crust promise. They said the name, they made it easily, and they broke it easily. A normal promise is sacred. Number two. An occupational promise is sacred. When an employee enters into a contract with an employer, the employee basically says, I promise to work this many hours a week working, doing this task for this much money. That's the agreement. The paycheck is given. Is the work being done? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know I'm not wrong because it's biblical. A Christian employee ought to be the very best worker in the company because he's working ultimately for God. He's taking to himself and bringing in with him the name of Christ. And Colossians tells us, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, not as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Normal promises, occupational promises. Here's the third. What about relational promises? What about the promise where a young man and a young woman come before a man of God, before the Lord himself, and before the people of God, and make that vow, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Not debt, do us part. Death, do us part. So many have been pie crust promises, easily made, easily broken, and quickly. Promises made to children in a home, broken. Somebody once said, if your Christianity doesn't work at home, it doesn't work. Normal promises, occupational promises, relational promises, and here's a fourth, I'll close with this. Eternal promises. Eternal promises. If you're a believer this morning, there was some point in your life where you received Christ, we say, gave your life to him. You said, I receive your forgiveness, your mercy, your grace, and Lord, I pledge my loyalty to you as my King, my Savior, and my Lord. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Now that implies a promise that is followed up by a walk. Because you've taken his name. I'm a Christian. I've taken his name, the name of Christ. So here's the closing question. Are you walking with him? Or could it be said you're walking away from him? You've got the name. What are you doing with it?
Boy, how we use God's name is important. And how we know God is even more so. And if you've been listening to Pastor Skip today and wondering about a relationship with God, I want to invite you to stop by at connectwithskip.com, click Know God, and learn more about him today. The teaching we just heard on today's broadcast was the second half of God is Not a Swear Word. We have Skip and his wife Lenya in studio today to share some extended thoughts about this teaching. Lenya?
Skip, today you addressed really what I think is an important topic, and so many people, it's just gone by the wayside of that this is a valid comment to make, but people use God's name in vain. And people used to be much more aghast, you know, to have that used.
It wasn't allowed on TV, and now it's on primetime.
Right. I think you go all the way back to Rhett Butler and saying, frankly, stuck Scarlet, I don't. And that was the first time. And so to use this word and how it's become in God's name has just been trampled on in the public square. And they use his name as a curse word. What should we do when that happens? I mean, you know, it takes my breath away, but I need to have a response. I mean, should I say to the person, knock it off, or do I just ignore it? How do I handle that?
Yeah, and I think it's a valid question. And the fact that you are repulsed by it is a good thing, because it shows that you, they're talking about somebody you love and they're disrespecting somebody you have a relationship with. And we're always hurt. If some, like when I was a kid and they talk about my parents, I hated that, you know, classmates. But at the same time, I want to say, I don't expect the world, sinners, pagan society, to revere God. I expect them to sin. And when they do, I'm not appalled by it. So when it happens, I would rather see it as an opportunity rather than something that I want to let them know they shouldn't say around me, because they'll say it. They just won't say it around you. That may be a good thing. But how about if we see it as an opportunity? Something like, hey, you know the one that you're talking about a lot? You mentioned his name a lot, but not in good terms. Do you know that I have a relationship with him and you can too? Or something maybe more subtle, some way to work your way in. But I turned it around and use it as a platform.
Just think, as we're in this evolved, so to speak, society, it's so duplicitous. Nobody uses Muhammad's name in vain or Buddha's name in vain.
Well, they're scared to use Muhammad's name in vain.
Maybe. But you know what I'm saying. They don't use Buddha or Krishna or, right, or some other form. And so it just seems, why? You know, why is it the Lord's name?
Well, if you think about it from in terms of spiritual warfare, it makes perfect sense. It's the one name that Satan hates more than there's not 30 other gods. There's only one true God who has his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you think about it in terms of strategy, that would be the only name Satan would want to denigrate more than any other name on earth, and he has. So if you just look at it from that way, you get a pretty good idea peeking behind the curtain as to why.
Right. It's the name of Jesus that every knee will bow before.
Yeah. There's a day coming when every knee will bow.
Well, thanks so much, Skip and Lenya. And the message you heard today was part of God's Top 10, a great series to add to your audio library. And you can today when you get all 17 teachings bundled as an audio CD package. It's available right now at connectwithskip.com for only $39 plus shipping. If you've been looking for an excuse to take a vacation or at least a day off, you want to be sure to tune in next time to see what God's Word has to say about that. Right here in Connect with Skip Weekend Edition. A presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his wood. Make a connection. A connection. A connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.